All right. It's a pleasure to bring in Alva Noe. And Alva wrote a book. It's called Infinite Baseball, Notes from a Philosopher at the Ballpark. And I'm going to read the PR piece that came with this because it really explains what this book is about. Then Alva can tell us about it. And, of course, Alva's local here in Berkeley as well. And it's baseball is a sport for those with patience. It consists of long periods in which little seems to be happening, punctuated by high-energy outbursts of rapid-fire activity. In the deeply entertaining Infinite Baseball, Notes from a Philosopher at a Ballpark, philosopher and devout baseball fan Alva Noe explores the many unexpected ways in which baseball is truly a philosophical kind of game. Noe's wide-ranging, thoughtful observations show that baseball is not only a window on language, culture, and the nature of human action, but is intertwined with deep and fundamental human truths. I can't wait to hear, Alva, I can't wait to hear you talk about this. The book ranges from the nature of umpiring and the role of instant replay to the nature of the strike zone, from the rampant use of surgery to controversy surrounding performance-enhancing drugs. Throughout, Noe's observations are surprising and provocative, making the book a must-read for any fan of the sport. Alva, welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much for having me on. I'm a big fan of yours, and it's just a great pleasure to be able to share this with the audience.
Yeah, what a release from Oxford Press about the book. And with that in mind, I'll let you tell us about the book and some of the observations and how this book came together.
Yeah, well, the book is, you know, I'm a philosopher, and that means I've had this whole academic history, and I teach at the University of California in Berkeley, and I've also been a baseball fan all my life. And at some point, I started thinking, what are these two things that I care so much about, have to do with each other? What's the connection? And one of the things that is true about philosophy, I don't know how familiar with philosophy all your listeners are, but philosophy always begins with wonder at home. We're always thinking about fundamentally our nature and our nature in the world around us. So I thought, well, let's begin reflection of philosophy with something very close to home for me, something very near and dear, something very familiar to us all, namely baseball, this game that we love. So in this book, I try to bring the kind of curiosity and wonder and drive for understanding and explanation that is characteristic of philosophy to this thing we love, baseball. And in the course of doing it, the book consists of 32 essays, each of which is very short and can be sort of read on its own. It's not a sustained argument. But philosophers are not storytellers. We're not interested in drama. We are interested in drama, but we're interested in the drama of ideas. And so there is an argument that kind of runs through this book. And I can put it in different ways. I can sort of summarize it in different ways. But at its simplest level, the idea is that baseball is a game which, in order to play or in order to enjoy as a fan, you also need to think about while you're doing it. It's a thinking game.
I love
it. And that's the theme that runs through the book.
No, very good. Alva Noe is with us. Infinite Baseball, Notes from a Philosopher at the Ballpark. Now, you know, if you listen to my show, that we have had a baseball philosopher each year, going back to Tim Flannery and George Contos, Javier Lopez. We had Phil Nevin on there at one point. And this year, we had Nick Hundley for a couple of years. And now we have Tony Watson this year. And my goal is to have that person, a player, coach, whoever it may be, take us through a baseball season with the philosophy of baseball. In other words, what happens? It's like six essays. What happens in April? What happens in May? What happens on a road trip? What happens when you've won four in a row? You've lost four in a row. What happens in the issues of baseball, bat flipping, steroids, and have that person sort of give his philosophy of how baseball relates to the fans and to the players on the inside. So that's what I try to do.
There's so much to think about in all of these things that you're talking about. Baseball, it's long, and it requires attention on the part of the audience. One of the things, for example, that I'm very interested in, I talk a lot about in the book, is what is increasingly an old-fashioned practice of keeping score with a scorecard at the baseball park when you're watching a game. And these days people think, oh, you know, you can use the ESPN handheld, it'll keep you updated. But the interesting thing about keeping score the old-fashioned way is it's not about being updated. It's about being focused and understanding what's going on, figuring out what's going on. You know, what is that? What? How do you score that play? To understand how you score a play, you really need to think about it. And I think that baseball is a great opportunity for focusing the mind in that way.
Yeah, I love it. Obviously, if you keep score, and I've taught many people how to do it, and everyone has their own unique way of doing it, which I've learned. It's very interesting. But it is something where in your mind you're saying, okay, this is what happened. Now I'm going to translate it into writing.
That's right. That's exactly right. You're writing the game down in real time as you watch or with your coach as you're coaching it, or you know, pitching coach, you're marking every pitch. What you mark down, what you notate, is going to depend upon your interests, right? If you're the pitching coach, you're going to be interested in location and speed and all these kinds of things. You might not be notating if you're just keeping a regular scorecard.
Boy, interesting. So yeah, very good. Alvin Noe is with us. Infinite Baseball, Notes from a Philosopher at the Ballpark. It's put out by Oxford. I assume it's on Amazon and all the places that we look to get it?
It's on Amazon. It's on Audible. It's on it's Kindle.
Okay.
You can get it in all the different ways, including your local bookstore.
Yeah, of course, and that brings me to the Book Tree in Montclair, where David has many, many of the baseball books that we put out. You ought to bring a couple over up in Montclair on LaSalle to the Book Tree and get them over to David and let David put them in the window, because a lot of the people we have on, we always publicize their books at the Book Tree. So you're in Berkeley, correct?
I am in Berkeley, yeah.
Yeah,
go up
to Montclair and do that at the Book Tree.
I will do that. Can I share with you another idea from the book?
Please, yes.
So one interesting thing about baseball, which I think really differentiates it from many other sports, is that when we watch baseball, there's a way in which we care less about what's going on, thought of in a purely material sense, you know, where the ball goes, how the ball was hit. We always think about what's happening in the baseball game in relation to who did it, who done it, who's responsible for it. You know, did you get to first base because you were walked, or did you get to first base because you got a hit, or was it a fielder's choice, or did you get there on the basis of an error? And whether it's one of those things or the other, that doesn't actually depend on the action sort of physically described. It depends upon the action interpreted in terms of who gets credit, who gets blame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this idea that baseball is this kind of interpretive activity is one of the really interesting things about baseball that makes it about more, if you like, than just a physical activity on the game. It makes it about this kind of almost forensic, to use the term like the way they use it in cops and robbers shows, that whodunit, mm-hmm. really trying to figure out who's responsible.
Very good.
Yeah,
very good. No, I love it. It's a thinking person's game, and you break it down into different aspects of the game to show how the thinking person may not even realize they're thinking about the game, but they do it as they watch a baseball game. Very good.
Exactly.
Have you ever read any of Leonard Coppett's stuff, the great Baseball Hall of Fame writer?
I'm afraid I haven't. I have, but I don't have fresh in my mind.
Yeah, look at Coppett, Leonard Coppett. And one of his books made me think of it. It's The Thinking Man's Guide to Baseball. And it's along the lines of what you talk about. But Leonard was the thinking man and really looked at baseball through a different prism, which I think you're doing. And you're making people realize as we watch the game, we're really doing a mental exercise, which is outstanding, and we may not realize it.
And I think this points to a controversy in the game today. MLB is so obsessed with trying to control the length of the game and, as they put it, pick up the pace of play, that I think they're actually forgetting that some of that slow pace, some of that opportunity to really slow down and figure out the meaning of what's going on in the field is what makes the game such a beautiful game and is what many of its fans really love most.
Well, that's why people go to the games, don't seem to have a problem with it. It's how they transmit it through the mediums today that people may not watch it as intently if you go to the game. When you go to the game, you can stick around and you can enjoy it. But that's a dilemma for baseball because they're marketing.
It is.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
right.
Great to have you on the show, Alva. Anytime. And please, if you're at the ballpark, stop by and say hello to us. It's a very good book. And as you said, short essays. And I think people will enjoy it. All baseball fans will enjoy it. And even if you're not a baseball fan, you'll realize why those of us who are do enjoy it.
And I should come clean with one thing before you let me go.
Uh-oh. Yankee fan?
I'm a lifelong Mets fan.
Met. All right. I knew it was coming. All right.
My earliest baseball memories were watching or listening actually on the radio to the Mets losing to the A's in 1973. But one of my heroes that year, in addition to Tom Seaver and Tug McGraw, was, of course, Willie Mays, who ended up his career with the Mets. So I've got that connection to you guys.
Well, we'll give you a pass on that since you did mention Willie Mays. But as soon as you said come clean, and I know you got a New York background, I said Yankees. Yeah. So, all right. I could deal with the Mets. The Yankees, I can't. All right. Alva, thanks so much, and enjoy the holiday weekend, and you're welcome anytime.
You. Yes, thank you very much. Happy holidays. Bye. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the support for the book.
You're welcome. All right. That's Alva Noe.